Welcome to the SwampSwamiSports.com audio podcast. And it's time for that college football wrap-up. And congratulations to the 14-0 national champs, the Georgia Bulldogs. If you stayed awake long enough to watch the entire Monday night college football playoff finale between the Georgia Bulldogs and the TCU Horned Frogs, you must be a Georgia fan or an insomniac, because that game, at least what it was advertised as being, was dominated from start to finish by Georgia. The Dogs simply obliterated the Frogs 65-7. Oh. TCU's Road Toads were crushed beyond recognition Monday night. Even the team's unofficial mascot, the Hypno Toad.
All glory to the Hypno Toad!
Was drowning his sorrows after the loss. It was so ugly that one of my favorite characters, Jed Clampett, might have uttered the most appropriate words to say about this game. Pitiful. Just pitiful. After the first quarter, Georgia led 17-7, and then at the half, the Dogs led 38-7. And after three quarters, TCU's deficit grew to 52-7. And if Georgia's kicker had not missed an extra point on the final touchdown of the game, scored by the third string in the fourth quarter, the final score would have been 66-7. But it was just 65-7. The TCU fans who traveled to Los Angeles spent a lot of money on tickets and accommodations and then had to travel home again this week deserve the remainder of this week and weekend in order to mourn. They did have a terrific season, before Monday night, that is. Georgia's elated fan base may still be partying in Los Angeles today, and they deserve the win. But the rest of us want to see a different SEC team in the title game next season.
Yes!
As for Georgia, I've now gone full circle on how I feel about this team in just 1 year. Last season, I really wanted to see Georgia win their first national championship since Herschel Walker carried the ball back in 1980. And I was happy to see last year's team finally break through. But after watching most of the game on Monday against TCU, I now want Georgia football to be quarantined for a full season to make sure that they cannot return for a third straight year. Yes, you've earned your place atop the college football world, Georgia. That said, most of us college football fans will be rooting hard to see some other team from the SEC, maybe even perhaps Alabama, emerge to have a chance to play in the national championship game next season. Two titles in a row are terrific for Georgia. Just don't wear out your welcome, Dogs. Well, as expected, this lopsided game was a TV ratings bomb. For ESPN and their family of networks, Georgia's start-to-finish complete demolition of TCU brought the lowest number of television viewers in the history of the college football playoffs. Though 17 million people did tune in to watch at least a portion of this game, Monday's Georgia vs. TCU finale was the lowest-rated college football championship contest in the entire BCS and college football playoff era. More troubling for ESPN, this year's game had a 23% decline in the highly sought-after 18-49 age group watching the game. So imagine how advertisers who paid top dollar for a spot during the fourth quarter of the game must have been feeling. Can you spell refund? From what I understand, the unhappy sponsors will either be charged a lower rate based on the game not delivering a certain minimum number of viewers, or they'll be offered a credit toward future ad buys on ESPN. For the entire bowl season, the television ratings for all of the bowl games dropped this year, too. An average of 2.42 million viewers watched an average college football bowl game this year compared to last year's average of 2.65 million viewers. Though that may not sound like much, that's a 9% loss of a television audience in just 1 year. But there were some other pleasant surprises this college football season. In addition to TCU's magical year, there were two Louisiana schools who performed much better than even their most loyal fans expected this season. Tulane's incredible rally to beat USC in the Cotton Bowl game was like watching a made-for-TV movie. A 12-2 record coming off a 2-10 year was just fabulous. And the Greenies have finally returned to football relevance once again. Perhaps it's time to renew that rivalry with that neighbor of theirs just 70 miles to the north. And speaking of LSU, the Tigers' SEC West title came as a big surprise to Tiger Nation, too. Coach Brian Kelly made an immediate impact with his coaching style. LSU played with more poise and more discipline than Tiger fans have seen in decades. With strong recruiting and the establishment of a new winning attitude on campus, LSU is poised for growth. Now, if it can just find a new special teams coach... Speaking of teams that rebounded this year, the Florida State Seminoles are back too. Even though FSU did not win the ACC title, this team's 10-3 record and top 10 final ranking at the end of the season has fans excited about the possibilities in Tallahassee for next fall. Kansas State quietly ascended the ladder in the Big 12 this season, is now becoming a force to be reckoned with. After beating TCU in the Big 12 title game, the 10-4 Wildcats learned that they need to improve a little bit more after losing to Alabama in the Sugar Bowl. Coach Chris Kleeman is a proven winner at North Dakota State of the FCS and now at Kansas State. They need to keep him around for a long time. And finally, let's salute the Troy Trojans of the Sun Belt. They finished with a Tulane-like season as well. After going 5-7 in 2021, Troy posted a record of 12-2 this year and a top 20 final ranking for the first time in school history. Troy won 11 straight games to end their season, including a bowl win over a very good UT San Antonio team. Troy's 40-year-old rookie head coach, John Sumrall, is someone to keep your eye on. Now let's turn our attention to the FCS playoffs, and how about those South Dakota State Jackrabbits? While you may have been watching the NFL games on Sunday afternoon, ABC decided to televise the championship game of the smaller division FCS between defending champion North Dakota State and their nearby rival South Dakota State. The city of Frisco, Texas, just north of Dallas, was invaded by thousands of football fans from the frozen Dakotas last weekend. The 14-1 Jackrabbits of South Dakota State grabbed their first FCS national championship by defeating North Dakota State 45-21 in Frisco on Sunday. The legendary Bison of North Dakota State had won 9 FCS titles in the last 11 seasons. Now, in previous years, the FCS College Championship game has been played on a Saturday afternoon. This year's game on Sunday drew just 1 million viewers to ABC Sunday afternoon. Now, that's significantly down from 1.32 million who watched the game last year when it was played on a Saturday, not going up against the NFL, and was shown on a minor cable affiliate, ESPN2. Who made that boneheaded choice to compete with the NFL for viewers? A media source revealed that the senior director of programming for ESPN was quoted back in September as saying, quote, "Being up against the NFL is what it is. College football fans will find it, and it will do just fine." If this person is still employed at ESPN, here are a couple of rules to remember in the future. Rule number one, never compete against the NFL for television viewers. Rule number two, see rule number one. I hope that ABC will return this very enjoyable college championship game to its former Saturday afternoon time slot next season. And congratulations again to the South Dakota State Jackrabbits for finally breaking through with their first championship. Another question, how did Swamp Swami's college football bowl predictions do? Well, I'm glad you asked. For the 42 college football bowl games played, my SwampSwamiSports.com rankings correctly selected 24 winners against just 18 losses. Now that equates to a 57% winning percentage. It's not great, but it's not bad either. The two worst matchup games that I predicted both came from Sun Belt Conference teams. South Alabama, who was number 14 in my final regular season rankings, was totally destroyed 44-23 by the 47th ranked team in my survey, Western Kentucky. And also from the Sun Belt Conference in a beatdown, number 21 ranked Coastal Carolina was mauled 53-39 by the 53rd ranked team in my survey, East Carolina. Ouch. But fortunately for the Sun Belt Conference, their league champion Troy Trojans finished with a 12-2 record and a hard-fought 18-12 win over Conference USA's UT San Antonio, who finished 11-3, in the Cure Bowl in Orlando. Now, there's no doubt that my regular season rankings do allow a few teams from some of the lesser conferences, like the Sun Belt, to hold a higher ranking than they're usually given by the Associated Press or even the coaches' poll. And I'm okay with that because I believe that, number one, no rankings at all should take place until the completion of the first month of the football season. Number two, wins over other good teams during the regular season should carry the most weight. And number three, any preseason hype by the media, such as we saw this past year for Texas A&M and Miami of Florida, should not be considered at all when you are ranking the teams week to week. In conclusion for this college football season, congratulations to the unbeaten Georgia Bulldogs and the FCS champs, South Dakota State. Both of those teams left no doubt on the football field about who was the top team in their respective division. And with college sports' new game of musical chairs, the NCAA's transfer portal, and the NIL cash luring players to go and switch schools over the next few months, it's almost impossible to predict how next season's going to go. But I'm going to leave you with a few questions which I'm already pondering. Number one, how much will Deion Sanders be able to do to resurrect the Colorado Buffaloes program? And I hope he does. Number two, will Texas freshman sensation from Louisiana Arch Manning be a smash hit, or will he be yet another five-star dud? Number three, will Coach Nick Saban's Alabama Crimson Tide return back to the top again next year? Number four, will Michigan's coach Jim Harbaugh leave college football and take a job coaching in the NFL again? Number five, with a relatively easy schedule next year, will Georgia actually three-peat and win the national championship again?
Not so fast!
And number six, will Georgia quarterback Stetson Bennett, who has two national championship rings after being a walk-on quarterback at Georgia, be drafted by any NFL team? I'm thinking of you, Atlanta. We'll learn more about this in less than 8 months when the new football season kicks off. And I can't wait. I'm Swamp Swami.